You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. The headlines were huge and screaming on April 21st this year. Prince found dead in an elevator in his home. The cause of death, an opioid overdose. Or 2009, June 25th, more screaming headlines. Michael Jackson dead from an overuse of propofol, a prescription drug to help him sleep, and anti-anxiety drugs. And the headlines from 54 years ago told the same tragic story. Film star Marilyn Monroe found dead in her Hollywood home, the cause, overdose of prescription drugs. Marilyn Monroe's funeral was this day, August 8th, 1962. University of Michigan medical historian and PBS contributor Dr. Howard Markel is back here again. Howard, this was a story as big as it was tragic, wasn't it?
Oh, it was huge. I mean, Marilyn Monroe was, well, Marilyn Monroe. She was probably the biggest star or superstar in Hollywood at that time.
And kind of remind us again, and you stop and you go, she was 36 when she died, so she
only
had a
36.
Short, bright career.
Right.
That was kind of not doing well at the time that she died.
Yeah, Marilyn's personal problems just kept catching up with her. And she was probably always a very troubled individual, and there was a lot of mental illness that ran in her family. Her mother was bipolar and depressed. Marilyn was probably an abused child. And there were all these other things that happened to her as a starlet and star in Hollywood. It was not such a friendly place, let's put it mildly. And by the end of her career, when she was 36, she had just been fired from a movie from her longtime studio, 20th Century Fox. The film was called Something's Gotta Give. How's that for
terrible irony, huh? Yeah.
And it was a remake of a very famous movie, My Favorite Wife, a 1940 film. But she was fired, and she was absent a lot, either very late getting to the set or absent from the set, most likely hungover from too much alcohol and too much drugs. She preferred barbiturates, a sleeping pill, sedatives, things like that. And the studio said, well, you were well enough to sing Happy Birthday, Mr. President.
That famous thing.
In Madison Square Garden,
yeah,
for John F. Kennedy. So there was all this stuff going on in her life just shortly before she died.
And what did they find? I know a housekeeper, was it, who tried to get in and realized that she wasn't answering?
Yeah, well, the last full day of her life was August 4th, 1962, and she was quite upset and depressed, and her psychoanalyst was concerned about her, and he actually said, I'm going home for the night. And he said to her housekeeper, could you please keep a watch on her? Marilyn was said to have gone to bed to retire to her bedroom at 8 p.m. For some reason, she was allowed to lock the door and not watched, despite the fact that she had been talking about suicide. And it wasn't until about 3:30 in the morning that her assistant found that the light was still on, knocked on the door. There was no answer. She went outside to view Marilyn through the French windows of her bedroom and saw that Marilyn looked quite odd, quite peculiar, and all she was doing was lying there hanging on to a phone. The receiver was off the hook, and she was hanging on to it. The housekeeper then called her psychoanalyst, who came immediately. They broke in, and of course, by 3:50 a.m., Marilyn was declared dead.
And you spell out in your essay the unbelievable array of things found at her bedside table. Take it away.
Oh, boy, she had a regular pharmacy right next to her bedside table. There were all sorts of barbiturates, amphetamines, opiates, opioids, alcohol. She liked champagne, but she also drank a lot of sherry and alcohol. Chloral hydrate, which used to be called in the old detective stories, you know, Mickey Finns or sleeping drops.
We still
use it as pediatricians to sedate children. It's a very powerful sedative. And the problem is that when you're taking those three things, a barbiturate, chloral hydrate, and alcohol, the medical term is they potentiate each other. They make each other more powerful. So that's a problem in and of itself. And then the more powerful sedatives are, you tend to forget what you took.
Yes.
And if you're still awake, you say, I want to take some more.
I need to sleep.
Yeah. And that's probably what happened. Mm-hmm. We don't know, but that's probably what happened.
All gotten by prescription.
Mm-hmm.
Were they from different doctors, the same doctor? Was she good at playing pharma and medical roulette, as we heard, for example, Michael Jackson was?
She didn't have as many doctors as some of these more recent cases, but she was good at manipulating her doctors to prescribe whatever she wanted. It was not at this late date of the opiate epidemic where we should know better. But you know what? Her doctor should have known better than to give her all of these medications at the same time, given her state of mind and the suicidal thoughts she was having.
Through the years, there's certainly been a pretty healthy crop of conspiracy theories about her death, including a big one centering on her, I'm going to use air quotes here, involvement with both President John Kennedy and his brother Bobby, supposedly. What do you feel, medically speaking, is the best and most believable explanation?
Well, I'm going to get some angry mail on this one, but most likely she accidentally killed herself. Let's think that she didn't really mean to, but it's hard to say. But it seems that she accidentally overdosed. But the conspiracy theories are just incredible. Well, one thing that is problematic, when they did an autopsy on her, they did not find the Nebutol capsules. That was the barbiturate she took. And you should have seen the gelatin capsules.
Like in her gut.
In her gut. They didn't see those. And then there was theories, well, maybe somebody injected her, but they could find no needle tracks on her arms or legs or the obvious places. And then somebody said, well, maybe they gave her an enema containing barbiturates, that they got her drunk or knocked out or what have you and then did it. And then, of course, there are all these – was it the Mafia? Was it the Kennedys? You know, Peter Lawford near the end of his life, who was a Kennedy brother-in-law until he wasn't. And then he was drummed out of the Corps. And there's reasons why he might have
– axe to grind.
An axe to grind. Of course, Peter Lawford was also a well-known alcoholic, a drug addict, and had chronic liver disease. So that too could have affected his mind. But he famously or infamously said, you know, Bobby was just crazy about getting her and I should have never have let him get involved. And I don't know what that means. But of course, the conspiracy theorists absolutely love comments
bubbling
like that.
Away. But when you stop and you draw the line from Marilyn Monroe's death and thinking of her funeral 54 years ago today to what we've seen with so many and else, you know, Prince, I started with that. It has much the same sense to find him dead in the elevator at Paisley Park and then realize that he had been juggling opioids for back pain.
Right.
We have this conversation about these prescription drugs and prescription painkillers, and it can start off as innocently as I had my wisdom teeth out and I got Vicodin from the dentist.
Yes. They are typically prescribed for good reasons. It's when you cross that borderline into bad reasons, and that's where, you know, good doctoring really makes a difference. And how much we prescribe and how much we refill is only been recently looked at. And you're right, the opioid-opiate epidemic, the overdose epidemic, which is quite striking. America, United States of America, is about 5% of the world's population, and yet it consumes more than 75% of all prescription opiates, opioids, things like that. So there's something going on here. There's a disconnect, and it remains a problem. And it's not just movie stars who can manipulate their physicians to get more medications. Addicts are fairly crafty people. And so we have to be extremely careful about using these medications for good, but being very careful about their huge, huge addictive potential and the way they ruin lives.
A sad and a cautionary tale. Dr. Howard Markel, University of Michigan Medical School, as always, thanks so much.
Thank you.